All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful weather for my drive this morning. It's really kind of cooling down, and so that is really enjoyable. It has been over the last couple of weeks. But I want to start this morning with a question. Have you guys ever met a very upfront person? Like a person with no filter, you know, maybe the type of person that just says whatever they want to say. They don't care if you like it or not. Like, how do you deal with that type of person? Now, I'm the kind of guy that will, like, ignore you or just go away. I don't want to be around that type of person that just kind of tries to tell me whatever they want. But as we prepare to wrap up this sermon series, The Blessed, this will actually be the last week of that series, and then we're going to jump into looking at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the countercultural things that Jesus is laying out for the people there. Like, I just want you to understand this, that Jesus was an upfront person. He was a person that wasn't afraid to tell people what he thought and tell people the way that they should live. So, like, do you look at the scripture, the words on those pages, and treat them as statements of challenge in the same way you would treat the challenges of someone in your life that's trying to better you? I'm sure that most of us would say that that statement's true, but I want to encourage you this week to look at, examine your own life, because there is a day coming that God's going to be examining your life. So if we're not living out the principles of Scripture, if we're not living out these blessings that Jesus has given us, then we're missing the point. But I truly just hope that this series has been a blessing for your lives. And we're going to wrap it up this week. I just want to kind of recap what we covered last week, and then we'll move into the message for today. So last week we were talking about peace, if you recall, and more specifically being a peacemaker. And if you the main point of that sermon was that we receive peace when we get the gift of salvation. And that's how we become a peacemaker, by sharing that gift with other people so they can in turn inherit that gift, that peace. And so we're going to start with some scripture. We're going to be in Matthew 5. And I don't actually have it on the tablet here. It's this sermon's gonna, or this series, this text is about, dang, I'm totally lost now. Give me just a second. I'm sorry about this. Okay, this sermon today is going to be about persecution, a topic that's really kind of hot in the church, hot around the world right now. I mean, I can think of Afghanistan and the underground church and the things that those people are dealing with right now. But like, I just want to look at this because this is the last characteristic, right, that Jesus gives us. And so previously in this sermon, Jesus has given us a bunch of points to build our lives up, and in turn that leads to a point of persecution, right? In the first one, he says, blessed is a man that is poor in spirit, right? And that's not self-asserting, aggressive, not being arrogant, having the desire to fill your cup every day. Number two, he says, blessed he is humble. And we talked about this, even being humble to the point of death, because Christ was humble to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then we see the next blessing is for the guy who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The type of person that hungers to do the right thing every day. Not because they think that it's the right thing to do, but it's because Christ calls us to do the right thing. And Christ wasn't done there. He moves forward and says, blessed are the merciful that don't seek revenge or even partake in the get-even mentality of the world. And then we get the topic from last week, the pure in heart. And these are the things that come from your heart. And then he says the peacemaker, the God that brings the peace to the people around the world, shares that love of Christ, shares the good news. And like, what do you think, after we went through all of these, what do you think the world would think of a person that lives out these principles? Like, I don't think they're going to admire that person. But this beatitude kind of reveals the results of all of these life-changing principles. It says, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, these characteristics that Jesus has given us over the last 8 or so verses are righteous characteristics. If you live these out, you will be a righteous person. But don't expect the world to honor you or even see you as righteous. Rather, I think that if we live these principles out, it would be the opposite. I think the world is going to try to persecute you, try to stop you from following Christ. But I want to make a few distinctions here that I think are important. The first one is that Jesus did not say, blessed are they who are persecuted for being different. Now, I'm not talking about the way that you live your life, but it is true that a person that is often a little different can be made fun of, can be belittled, can be teased. And I think that those people can kind of come attached to this point. And I don't think that's what Jesus is getting out here. In fact, I met some people that have witnessed, in their witnessing, been aggressive and almost insulting, and they push people for a decision to follow Christ, and in turn those decisions don't last. You're not impacting and furthering the kingdom for a long period of time. You're doing it for 5 minutes of a decision, and then that's it. In fact, I remember a story last year while I was at college of this church in Tulsa. And this church was a rather large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they had a homosexual couple show up to a service. And instead of just trying to witness Christ to them, the pastor had them sit in the middle of the church, and after the service, he had everybody in the church form a circle around them, and then he proceeded to tell them that he was going to pray the homosexual out of that person. How do you think that impacts the kingdom? Because I guarantee not only does that couple is never going to come to know Christ, they're not going to want to know Christ, but anybody that has ever had any homosexual thoughts is never going to want to know Christ. See, that's not being different, trying to push people to a decision. That's not it. Also, this is another important one, and this is kind of tough to preach on, especially in today's climate, but Jesus did not say, blessed are they who are persecuted for standing for a political cause. See, there's real danger in being drawn into this, right? We live in such a media news-driven culture that all we do is consume this ideas of whatever party we choose to follow. And like, yes, the other side is going to attack you. They're going to the media, these people that are good at manipulating other people are going to lead them to go after you. But that's not the persecution that Jesus is saying here. See, like, I don't know about you guys, but I want to ask you this question. Why are we surprised when the world persecutes the righteous? See, this has been the pattern of the world from the beginning. It began with Cain and Abel. We know the story, and we know how that goes. See, we get this, a clear picture. Like, I don't want to look at this from Genesis, but I'm going to look at this from 1 John chapter 3. And there John tells us of Cain killing his brother Abel, and why? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Catch that Cain killed Abel. Why? Because Cain's works were evil and Abel's were righteous. In the very next verse, John writes this. He says, "Marvel not if the world hates you." But I think the greatest example of all in living a righteous life is Jesus. Right? When Peter was speaking to Gentiles about Jesus who had gathered in the house of Cornelius, he said this: "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." See, when you're a righteous person, God will be with you. Matthew, another one of the disciples, said this in Matthew 9, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." See, these characteristics we can see of Jesus that make him righteous are clear. His main exhortation was to love God with all his heart, mind, and strength, and his neighbor as himself. You want to live a righteous life? Follow the example of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews has this to say, that Jesus was our high priest, and he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet the sinners were the ones that persecuted him and eventually crucified him. But I think it's important to note this too, right, church? That persecution does not always come from the world, but oftentimes it's from other religious people. See, it was the religious leaders of the Sadducees and the Pharisees that conspired to crucify Jesus and force the issue when Pilate was determined to let him go. In Russia today, the greatest persecution of the Christian missionaries is coming from the Russian Orthodox Church. In Mexico, the greatest persecution for the Christian church comes from the Catholic priests. In India, the greatest persecution is coming from the Hindus. In Iran and Saudi Arabia, the Muslims controlling that nation are the greatest persecution for the Christian church. It would seem that most of the intolerant people in the world are the religious people, religious leaders of these. But like, if we're going to understand that they're persecuting us, then why? Why are Christians persecuted? One, because we're not of the world. We you're not like the other people you'll come in contact with on a daily basis. John 15:19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's pretty clear to me. Because we're not a part of the world's going to hate us. Because God chose us to not be a part of that. Again, it's because they do not know God. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. The time has come that whoever kills you will think that he does God service. 16:3, then the very next verse, and these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That's Jesus telling these people that are going to kill him that they're doing this to him because they don't know the Father. They don't have a relationship with God. But if we understand that we're persecuted, we understand who's doing the persecution, and we know how to live a righteous life, what does that give us? What does that future look like? I think it's clear, church. This is where the hope comes in, that the reward for this, remember this series is starting with a blessing, and then we get the result of that blessing. The result is we inherit the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Note that this is the exact same promise as the first beatitude. Jesus kind of bookmarks this by saying, first trait, live this out, you'll get heaven. And then he ends the same section of text, the same section of that sermon with the exact ending that he began with. So I just want to encourage you, next time you find yourself being persecuted, seek to analyze it to see if it is for righteousness' sake, or is it because you're trying to be upfront, or you're pushing a political topic? Because if it's for righteous sake, rejoice, because you are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As I was studying, I just want to close with a quick story, and I was reminded of an interview that I saw last year during a chapel sermon at Ozark Christian College. They had this guy that had run Indian Christian mission. His name is Dr. Ajay Law, and he was being interviewed by Chad Ragsdale, the dean of Ozark Christian College. And I remember this interview not because Dr. Law was like compelling, even though he was, right? He was a really good speaker, but because of the statement, the implications of what he said. See, I want to tell you a little bit about this man, Dr. Law, before we get too deep into the story. He's been planting and building churches all across India for the past 25 to 30-ish years. I've heard stories of him being put in prison. He's been threatened by Hindus. He's had his churches burnt down. And yet he's still there living a righteous life. See, yet as he sat on the stage at Ozark Christian College, he said something that really challenged the way I look at persecution. The question, I still remember it to this day, from Chad said, would you like the persecution in India to stop, for there to be no persecution in India? His response left me puzzled. He said, no, because I see how loosely people in the West handle the gospel and the gift of salvation. When we don't have persecution, we don't live the life that Christ is calling us to live. And I've heard this statement over and over again from friends that have been all around the world. We have a guy at my college named Stanley, and Stanley's from Africa, and he has scars all up and down his body from where Muslims have taken machetes and attempted to take his life. And yet he's here, he's finishing his Ozark degree, and he's going back to Africa to continue planting churches, to live a righteous life. And friends, that's what this is. See, Dr. Ajay Law said, the hard days remind me of the coming promise. So as we go out this week, let that be a word of encouragement for your life. That even when the days are hard, we serve a God that's promised us the gift of salvation. Even after we disobeyed Him, even after we made a decision that caused us to fall, God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us so that we in turn could be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the hope I want to leave you with today.